Good evening. My name is David Ortiz. You're watching InfoWars Nightly News. It's Monday, the 28th of January of 2013, and here's what we have in store for you tonight.
Tonight, the DHS is buying 7,000 fully automatic assault rifles as personal defense weapons. Then, hacked emails reveal a Washington-approved plan to stage a false flag chemical weapons attack in Syria. Bill Maher says the Constitution is BS, and Alex Jones goes on an armed rampage with a bubble gun. That's coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back. Well, could a false flag be in the works? According to an article posted on InfoWars.com today by our very own poll, Joseph Watson, the headline reads, hacked emails reveal Washington-approved plan to stage chemical weapons attack in Syria. According to the article, alleged hack emails from defense contractor Britam reveal a plan approved by Washington and funded by Qatar to stage a chemical weapons attack in Syria and blame it on the Assad regime, fulfilling what the Obama administration has made clear is a red line that would mandate U.S. military intervention. The article also says the leaked emails obtained by a hacker in Malaysia feature an exchange between Britam Defense Business Development Director David Goulding and the company's founder Philip Dougherty. And here's what the email says. Let's just go to that graphic right there. It says, Phil, we've got a new offer. It's about Syria again. Qataris propose an attractive deal and swear that the idea is approved by Washington. We'll have to deliver a CW, which means chemical weapons, to Homs. Don't know what that means, but a Soviet origin G-shell from Libya, similar to those that Assad should have. They want us to deploy our Ukrainian personnel that should speak Russian and make a video record. Frankly, I don't think it's a good idea, but the sums proposed are enormous. Your opinion. Kind regards, David. So there you go. False flags are real. They really do occur. There's a whole lot of saber rattling that's occurring between Iran, Israel, Syria, and if those chemical weapons can go off, the United States has what it needs to go in there and intercede, and Israel has what it needs to have a war. Now, why would the United States want to go in there? There's various theories. One theory is, obviously, you can make more money in a day of war than you can in a full year of peace. Another idea, possibly, is because to get the public away, divert their attention from the lackluster economy. Our very old Gerald Celente has also pointed out that he thinks, and he's a trends forecaster, there will be a war as well. That's according to Gerald Celente. He didn't point out what country would go to war. But there's various theories as to why the United States might go to war. Again, you could obviously, the economy, it diverts the attention. You can make money off of it. Maybe the elite will make money off of it. The theories go on and on, but a false flag attack using chemical weapons would definitely create a war. And again, that email was among two employees who work for the company that's called Britam. The director, David Goulding, and the company's founder, Philip Dougherty. Now, speaking of the Middle East and saber rattling, and another article posted today on Infowars.com by the media outlet Zero Hedge, the headline reads, Netanyahu deploys Syrian Iron Dome as Israeli minister claims U.S. preparing surgical strikes against Iran. The article says Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says his nation must prepare for the threat of a chemical attack from Syria amid concern at enemy efforts to test a post-election coalition Israel, and as Bloomberg reports, has deployed its new Iron Dome anti-missile system near the border with its northern neighbor. Along with this concern, as many have perhaps suspected, the Israeli defense minister confirmed yesterday that the U.S. has prepared plans for a surgical military operation to delay Iran's nuclear program. As the Jerusalem Post reports, Ehud Barak, speaking in Davos, does not believe any military operation against Iran would devolve into a full-fledged war the size of the Iraqi war, but rather there should be a readiness and an ability to launch a surgical operation that will delay them by a significant time frame and probably convince them that it won't work because the world is determined to block them. And Benjamin Netanyahu also stated in the article, we must look around us at what is happening in Iran and its proxies and at what is happening in other areas with the deadly weapons in Syria, which is increasingly coming apart. So there you go. You know, the Israeli government seems to be concerned with what's happening in Syria, whether it be Syria, Iran. There's a whole lot of saber rattling going on, and we hope for the best. We hope nothing occurs. You know, I've always said, and I speak for myself, that if Israel is concerned about the fate of its future, it could always become a U.S. territory. It seems that they don't do anything without our permission regardless. So one thing they could obviously do is become a U.S. territory, and that would, you know, a lot of their enemies would think twice before striking them. But again, there's a whole lot of saber rattling going on, and we hope that nothing occurs, but it looks like it is going to happen. Now, in other news here domestically, in an article posted today on Infowars.com by Mike Adams of Natural News, the headline reads, DHS buys 7,000 full auto assault rifles, calls them personal defense weapons. The article says, in yet another huge blow to the rhetoric and narrative of the Obama administration and its desire to disarm the American public, a DHS bid has been uncovered, showing that the Department of Homeland Security recently put out an offer to purchase 7,000 full auto assault weapons to be used domestically inside the USA. Keep in mind that President Obama is on the record saying AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals. That they belong on the battlefield of war, not on the streets of our cities. But it seems he really means they don't belong on the streets of our cities unless they are in the hands of Homeland Security officers, enforcers rather, in which case they can be full auto assault weapons. The article later reads, the juiciest part of this bid, and you can see the bid on screen, is the use of the phrase personal defense weapons to describe the full auto AR-15s being purchased by DHS. Apparently, when you hold an AR-15, it's an assault rifle. But magically, if you hand the same rifle to an armed government Homeland Security officer, it instantly transforms itself into a personal defense weapon. And that's how it works. Great double standards amongst our government. There's video. Alex posted it today on, he went to it today on his radio show, of an individual walking up to Mayor Michael Bloomberg and saying, hey, why do you have guns? Why does your security team have guns? And Mayor Michael Bloomberg, of course, like a coward, just walked away. We've had video, we've shown it in the past, of Senator Dianne Feinstein saying she concealed carries. But in California, no one else is allowed to conceal carry unless they have a special permit and they're a high target individual. So it's just part of this complete hypocrisy that we see by government officials. Like children, MSNBC scolded the NRA for coming out with a commercial that attacks President Obama's hypocrisy. He's allowed to protect his children with armed guards, but we're not. You know, and of course, the ridiculous hypersensitive media condemned the NRA for doing that. I don't know why. But it's all part of this double standard. Government officials are allowed to protect their person, but you are not. You are not. You're bad. And it seems that in the news, it's just getting worse and worse, the hypersensitivity, the political correctness. We've shown articles of kids, you know, taking out Nerf guns in their school and their school closing down. Or, you know, other individuals just going bam, bam, kids in school. And that kid is reported to the principal's office. So, you know, Alex Jones recently went on a tirade and he assaulted a lot of co-workers here at InfoWars. Let's just go right now to that terrifying video.
Citizens of the homeland, we here at the ministry apologize for the disturbing footage you are about to see. The extremist Alex Jones has been permanently detained under the NDAA for an armed rampage with a bubble gun. Such behavior will not be tolerated. Citizens everywhere are vigilantly reporting other criminals and their terroristic weapons, such as plastic toy guns, guns drawn by hand on paper, and yes, even the vicious Hello Kitty bubble gun. Should you see children so armed, be sure to report them and their parents to the homeland for immediate rendition and re-education. Remember, citizens, the founding fathers were pig enemies of the state. The people are the true threat. Government force is freedom. We must thank God for the super state. And do not worry, as we have armed ourselves with over 1.6 billion bullets, fully automatic weapons, and armored checkpoints. The homeland is here to keep you safe. Trust no one else. Soon we will be one, absorbed into the great collective. Until then, continue to be vigilant. And if you see something, say something. We bring you now this graphic footage of Alex Jones' bubble gun rampage in its entirety. This is Melissa Melton with the Department of Homeland Security. Out.
Hi, I'm Janet Napolitano, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Homeland Security begins with hometown security.
You rolling?
Yep.
Okay, I want to thank everybody for coming here for the staff meeting. Alex will be joining us in just a few minutes. I'd like to thank my new assistant, Rob Duke, who's been demoted for this purpose. Now, I have a few stories I'd like to go over, but first, Darren McBreen, what do you have there?
Well, it's kind of interesting. The Chinese government recommends that our government starts confiscating...
Hold on, I'm sorry I'm late. Look at this.
Whoa, Alex.
Hey, man, what's going on? Check it out, man. We've got that office party, and, you know, I gave presents to all the kids at the Christmas party. I'm thinking that office party coming up... I'm thinking we'll have these as party favors. Check this out.
Alex.
What are you guys acting weird for,
hey,
man?
Hey.
The bubble touches me, I'm going to be arrested for assault. Do you understand?
Alex, I have this article.
That's a bubble gun.
A five-year-old girl was suspended after a terroristic threat when she brought a pink bubble gun. Just like that.
Was this the weapon of choice for a new kind of terrorist? Terror by Bubbles, the small pink Hello Kitty toy gun, is an automatic bubble blower. But just days ago, when a five-year-old girl said she and a classmate should shoot each other with bubbles, the school called it a terrorist threat.
What is this, a prank or something? We're supposed to be having a meeting.
No, that's a bubble gun.
You can't have that stuff, Alex. You can't.
Is that on the school
field? What are you guys freaking out about?
You can't bring that around, Alex.
That is a fully automatic bubble gun. Listen, Jakari, I know you're joking. There's no story.
All right, look, Alex.
Hold on. Let me talk to Melissa. Melissa, what's going on? I don't know what's going on.
That's a bubble gun.
I almost arrested an elementary school girl last week for having a paper gun at school.
Well, Thomas, this is all about a fifth grader that brought a piece of paper to class that many say looked like a gun. And it's what happened next that has her family crying foul. She pulled out a paper gun last week and says an administrator scolded her in front of the class. Her mom says staff even searched her with other kids watching the whole time.
That's
what is this about a bubble gun? The Hello Kitty thing?
Yes.
I thought that was a joke.
It's not a joke. This is not a joke. Alex Jones.
Terroristic threat.
The school took this so seriously that administrators even ordered that the five-year-old receive a psychological evaluation.
Alex, I'm not going to be subjected to this.
It's a detergent.
Yeah, guys, come on. It's a bubble gun.
If that detergent gets in my eye, I'm in.
That's assault. That's assault.
Turn it off.
That's assault.
It doesn't matter.
This is the workplace.
The government says it's bad, Alex.
You want to beat the police. Throw that on you or that other officer, and it gets in her eyes. It's a detergent. You'll be going into custody.
Well, then talk some sense to them.
No, that you should see that you should see what they're saying.
Okay, well, what party favors can I have then? Look, it's bubbles.
All right. Everybody, stay calm.
David, talk sense to him. Hey, what the hell is going on?
Stop this! No, he's getting too loud. Yes.
What the hell?
Somebody call.
It's crazy.
911. 911. 911.
Talk sense.
911.
Hey, I'm being held hostage by Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist.
It's a bubble gun.
NBC says we should never.
It's a bubble gun.
Alex Jones.
Turn that off. Turn that off, man. Turn that off.
Dominance.
Remember, if you see something, say something. Homeland Security starts with hometown security, and we all have a role to play. Working together, we can all help secure our country.
The discussion's over.
And continuing in domestic news, it seems that we've been talking a lot about it here on InfoWars. The dollar will collapse. There'll be hyperinflation. And an article posted today on InfoWars.com, the headline reads, Senior Obama Official, We Are Going to Kill the Dollar. And there was a gentleman by the name of Kyle Bass who works closely with the Obama administration. And here's what he said Obama administration officials told him. Let's go to that video.
How do you solve a problem where you're spending 10% of, you know, you're running a 10% fiscal deficit? You're not going to get growth in the absence of private sector credit demand. So the government's idea right now is we're going to export our way out of this. And when I asked a senior member of the Obama administration last week, how are we going to grow exports if we won't allow nominal wage deflation? And he says, we're just going to kill the dollar. And I said, okay.
There you go. We're going to kill the dollar. And again, Ron Paul's been talking about hyperinflation, the devaluation of the dollar. And if you just hold on tight, later on in the newscast, we're going to talk a little bit more about this issue with Ted Anderson, the founder of Midas Resources, and they obviously specialize in metallic goods like gold, silver. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a really good segment. Now, continuing with domestic news, it's not all bad news, and it seems that the state of Mississippi is taking advantage of their 10th Amendment rights, the rights to nullify. God bless them. Some people would say they're evil, but in an article posted today, the headline reads, in the Clarion Ledger, the headline reads, States' Rights Pushed in Bill That Would Assert the Sovereignty of the State. Two key lawmakers are introducing legislation called House Bill 490, and it would create a committee to help neutralize federal laws and regulations outside the scope of the powers delegated by the people to the federal government in the United States Constitution. Now, what's amazing is in the article, there was a critic of someone who actually criticized this legislation, which is completely constitutional and completely patriotic. Let's go to that criticism by a gentleman by the name of Robert McElvain. He's a professor of history at Millsaps College. He said all this bill will accomplish is to put Mississippi up for ridicule. The neutralization of federal law, he said, I am astounded to see such a measure introduced in the 21st century. Do the authors of the bill see Mississippi as part of the United States? What a ridiculous comment by this individual. Later on in the article, it says the bill accuses the federal government of seizing power. We reject and deny this unauthorized and excessive abuse of power, which has primarily acted as a detriment to states' rights and individual rights. Well, God bless these lawmakers in Mississippi that are doing this. This is all completely constitutional, protected under the 10th Amendment, the ability to nullify. We're united in our flag. We're united in the Constitution. Each state is allowed to have free trade with one another, but we don't have to be united with one another in our social programs, in our tax codes. We don't have to be joined at the hip in everything we do. What the founding fathers wanted was almost like 50 countries within a union, and you're allowed to do whatever you want. Again, we can be united in our flag. We can be united with our military operations. We do not have to be united in our social programs, and our gun control laws. So to the state of Mississippi, those two lawmakers, we commend you, and we hope that House Bill 490 does pass, and shame on Robert McElvain, the professor of history at Millsaps College. He should read the Constitution, the 10th Amendment. It's completely lawful and patriotic to do it. And we saw Sheriff Mack, who was a guest here at InfoWars a couple of days ago. Many sheriffs are also nullifying in relation to President Obama's assault weapons ban. Again, we don't have to be united in every social program and everything, just in the Constitution, in our military, things of that nature. Now, speaking of the Constitution, it's been under attack recently, especially from a PR perspective, but because of the Sandy Hook situation and the Second Amendment. And it seems that far left liberals, and again, you know, we don't think Republicans are good either, but it seems that more liberals in the media are mocking the Constitution. The comedian Joe Rogan, he's a patriot, but he said in his podcast, we need to rewrite the Constitution or revamp it. It's an old document. And we're fans of Joe Rogan, but he has said that. And yesterday, CBS, in a CBS newscast. People like this individual, he's a professor at Georgetown University. His name is Louis Michael Seidman. They're saying the Constitution has to be updated or done away with. It's completely ridiculous. We mentioned the comedian Joe Rogan. He's normally a patriot. He says we have to rewrite that. And we're now going to go to a video from another hip and trendy individual who we should be more like. That's what the left tells us. Bill Maher, who also is criticizing the Constitution.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
It's a pretty good little document, though. It's working pretty good so far.
You know, a lot of it is bull.
No,
it really is.
And they laugh.
I mean, the Second Amendment is bull. The way they interpret the Second Amendment, the left completely forgot how to interpret. You know, that really was about militias.
Yeah.
At a time when, you know, it was a battle between the states and the federal government.
So hip
and
trendy.
It wasn't really about a private citizen owning a handgun.
And there you go. And it goes on and on. It's about a one minute little bit that you can see. He mocks the Constitution. But I've always noticed that Bill Maher always defends the First Amendment. And the reason why is not because he's a nice individual. It's because he's a self-centered individual. And that affects his life because he's a comedian. But he's always had a mediocre career. We used to like Bill Maher myself when he used to be a libertarian, but about 5-6 years ago, he really became an operative for the Democratic Party, and like a child, believes in socialized medicine, believes in high taxation for the rich. I don't believe the rich, you know, I do think there are loopholes, and that needs to be done away with. That's crony capitalism. But I believe in low taxation for everyone. But there you go. Now the hip and trendies are saying, you know what, the Constitution just isn't hip and trendy. It's not hip and trendy anymore, so we need to do away with that. So that's footage of Bill Maher. Now, in more domestic news, in an article posted today on Infowars.com, the headline reads, "Drug-Induced Murder, What Caused the Connecticut School Shootings?" This is by Rebecca Terrell of New American. The internet is rife with details about the firearms Adam Lanza used to kill 20 children and 6 adults before turning a handgun on himself at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut on December 14th. But information about Lanza's medical history is scarce, breeding speculation that he may fit the profile of school shooters under the influence of psychotherapeutic medication. In virtually every mass school shooting during the past 15 years, the shooter has been on or in withdrawal from psychiatric drugs, writes Lawrence Hunter of the Social Security Institute. Yet, federal and state governments continue to ignore the connection between psychiatric drugs and murderous violence, preferring instead to exploit these tragedies in an oppressive and unconstitutional power grab to snatch guns away from innocent law-abiding people. Later on in the article, as we see there highlighted, one of the things in the past that we've known about depression is that it very, very rarely leads to violence, observed psychiatrist Peter Bregan. It's only been since the advent of these new SSRI drugs that we have murderers, sometimes even mass murderers, taking antidepressant drugs. And Alex talked about this in his interview with Pierce Morgan, that what we really should be talking about is how these kids are all doped up when they do these mass murders. But of course, like children, the mainstream media is focusing on the Second Amendment, even though it's extremely rare. Murder violence, gun violence is extremely rare, less than 1%. We're now going to go to a powerful video where individuals who have been, who have taken this medication are going to tell you how they felt when they were on it. It's pretty amazing and very sad. And then we're going to go to a hard-hitting news segment produced by Alex Jones on this very topic.
Suicide at age 12 years, 3 months, just 8 weeks after being put on Paxil and then Zoloft.
In a state of confusion and hopelessness, I put a .38 special Smith & Wesson revolver under my chin and pulled the trigger.
I went from being a shy and mildly depressed but never suicidal kid to being overcome with thoughts of hurting and killing myself while on the SSRI drugs, thoughts which I acted on.
Would you people put your children on this drug?
These are aerial pictures here in Harris County, Texas, as we have been watching the better part of this last hour. North Harris campus is on lockdown. This is an active situation. We are not showing you live pictures because because of what we may possibly see.
The corporate state-run media calls anybody that questions the official propaganda that's pumped out by the government and the dinosaur media as conspiracy theorist. And that's just a way to demonize your opposition and to try to get weak-minded people to not investigate the information that the alternative media is putting out. Now, that said, it doesn't mean that everything the government or mainstream media puts out is a lie. I've gotten a lot of criticism for not coming out and saying that Sandy Hook is an inside job. It has some of the telltale signs of being an inside job, but those are the same signs you will see if the government is simply using the crisis, like Rahm Emanuel has famously said, don't let a good crisis go to waste. Here's a clip of that.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
Now again, in the last month and a half, I have not come out and said that this was clearly a staged event. Unfortunately, evidence is beginning to come out that points more and more in that direction, and we're going to show you that information in a moment. Now, a lot of the tens of millions of video views on YouTube concerning the Sandy Hook hoax surround CNN and what appears to be people who've been coached, people who've been given cue cards, people who are behaving like actors. And we see CNN criticizing all the witnesses from the helicopter and the news crews and witnesses, adults, that saw multiple people being detained who were in camo. We're told, oh, those are five-year-olds saying that. It's a conspiracy theory. When it's not five-year-olds saying that, it's adults. It's police admitting that, quote, police officers were arrested from other jurisdictions creeping around the woods. Something serious is going on here. And CNN, over and over again, is at the heart of the fishy things that are happening. Now, remember, in 1990, 1991, when the Gulf War started, CNN would send out their raw feeds to their news affiliates, and on it there was clear blue screens on top the roof of CNN Center in Atlanta with their top reporters claiming they were in Israel under sarin nerve gas attack from Scuds. And later they had to admit quietly, this is on record, we're going to show you some clips, that indeed they were in Atlanta, Georgia, and that they were not being attacked by Scud missiles with sarin gas. CBS News got caught scripting videos as well. And there's a lot of examples of this. So let's go ahead and look at those clips.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I'm starting to get real bothered by all this.
You ready?
Boy, did I almost look stupid.
Charles Jacob, CNN, reporting live from Saudi Arabia.
And that there are also firings in another city in Saudi Arabia. CNN's Carl Rochelle is here with me. He just came up. Carl, I know we can't be very specific given these restrictions, but within those parameters, what did you see?
Well, what I saw, I didn't see anything hit. I looked almost straight above us. There is a vapor trail coming from my right to my left, and there's a cloud of something. It looks like it might have been an explosion, a cloud.
He's putting on a gas mask. There hasn't been any gas dropped here, but we could tell.
You smell anything?
No. Oh. You may smell some of the fumes from a missile exhaust going off. Missiles use a rocket, a cordite, some sort of burning. We just heard a little thump just then. But
I have to apologize for that. I caught a whiff of something and felt momentarily dizzy. You're more experienced.
Now, remember, that's only a small portion of hours of raw CNN feed that back in the old days, they didn't scramble the big satellite feeds because they thought most people wouldn't have a 12-foot dish to get it. But people did record that, and that's how they got caught with their pants down. And notice that blue screen in the background so they could project the Tel Aviv and Jerusalem skylines in the background. Coming up, we've got Anderson Cooper. Supposedly it's Sandy Hook, and it's clearly blue screen. I've worked with blue screen for 17 years. We've got it right in there. We know what it looks like. We know what the anomalies look like. And we know what happens when you don't tune it properly. It's clearly blue screen. And you can draw from that what you want. That's coming up in a moment. So CNN's done it before. I have mainstream news articles here out of the Washington Post, out of WorldNet Daily, where CNN had to admit that they had army psychological warfare inside of their system, basically crafting the news. And then, of course, we have things like Operation Northwoods, where in 1961, the Joint Chiefs came to Kennedy with Lemnitzer's plan and said, we want to stage shootings around America in crowded public places like movie theaters and things, and on the street to blame the Soviets as a pretext for war with Cuba. And Kennedy said, no, they've had the plan for mass shootings before, so we can't be attacked and others can't be attacked for questioning known liars who put on fake news and questioning a government that's been caught wanting to stage shootings. And they didn't just plan to stage shootings. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, this was declassified by the Italian government and their president and the head of their CIA a few years ago, that the U.S. government used terrorists to stage terror attacks, and NATO did this as well to blame their political opposition, be they left or right, similar to what we saw with Oklahoma City. And part of that program was called the NATO Option or Operation Gladio. So look that up for yourself. I've also interviewed police officers that were involved in the rescue at Oklahoma City, like Mr. Browning, who's in the award-winning film A Noble Lie, who were threatened by the FBI if they talked about what they knew with death.
But was told more than once or twice by agents in the area that people like my wife and I would end up have ended up dead, but not going along with what we knew to be true.
Wow, so you're a decorated Vietnam veteran, police officer, one of the heroes that responded when there could have been other bombs and was thought there were other bombs, and the FBI agents in the police office are telling you, do what you're told or you and your wife are dead. And you're saying this on record here, sir.
Yes, sir.
What did they know about? Federal agents inside planting the bombs in Oklahoma City. And it was Attorney General Holder, who later ran the false flag of Fast and Furious, who was Deputy Attorney General back in 1995, who ran the cover-up. And those emails have come out in different lawsuits that are available online if you'd like to look those up. Go out and check everything I'm telling you. You're going to find out it's even worse than I'm saying. In fact, that's what I get criticized for, is, you know, not covering at all this piece of evidence, that piece of evidence. There's too many. I clearly believe from the evidence children are really killed in Sandy Hook, and it's a real tragedy. But the fact that they're having people script things and that answers are being scripted is incontrovertible. We're going to get to some of that evidence right now.
It's believed at this hour, and it's been confirmed to ABC News by state police there in Connecticut, that two shooters were initially believed involved in the mass shooting. One of those shooters now dead. What's not been confirmed is whether or not that gunman took his own life or whether or not there was something that ensued after authorities began arriving at the scene.
Now, I'm just going to hit a few of the big unanswered questions of Sandy Hook. Just a few. The mainstream media keeps saying conspiracy theorists say there were multiple shooters. Nobody said that but a few poor five-year-olds who were traumatized. So we go and look, and there's countless adult witnesses. There's helicopter footage. There's police reports. There's video. There's local news accounts saying, oh, it was a tactical officer from a nearby jurisdiction who happened to be hanging out in the woods and wearing the same thing as what people said the shooters were wearing. No big deal, though. Let's just go ahead and ignore that. And that's in the Newtown Bee and other publications. And then, again, we have the newscast saying other shooters and showing people being grabbed in the woods. But we're told we never saw that. Here's a clip.
They did walk a guy out of the woods. I saw him walk a guy out earlier with handcuffs. He walked by us and said he didn't do it.
It was a grown man.
A grown man, yeah. He's sitting in the front of the police car over there now. So, I mean,
he didn't have a gun?
No, I didn't see any gun. Just had him handcuffed, and he walked by us and looked into parents' eyes and said, I didn't do it.
How was he dressed?
Camo pants with a dark jacket.
Roger. I have reports that the teacher saw two shadows running past the building, past the gym, which would be rear...
They're shooting. Yeah, we got them. They're coming at me down Grant's Point. Come up the driveway left side.
F6, this is it.
One of the big issues out there that has people asking questions is Robbie Parker, who reportedly lost one of his daughters. And people see the photos out there where it looks like Obama's meeting with all three of his children and things like that. And when you watch the footage, I know grieving parents do strange things, but it looks like he's saying, okay, do I read off the card? He's laughing, and then he goes over and starts basically breaking down and crying. So let's show that clip.
Family is there, and they're getting ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen to that. Okay. My name's Robbie Parker. My family is one of the families that lost a child yesterday in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings here in Connecticut.
I haven't touched this, okay? All I know is they're seizing on it. They staged Fast and Furious. The head of Gun Owners of America has said on my own show, Larry Pratt, that if they'd staged Fast and Furious to kill thousands, our government, to blame the Second Amendment, they'd stage anything.
What is your take right now on this situation? What are you, I mean, obviously they're seizing on it politically. Obama's saying you shouldn't have Semiano. We're seeing Michael Moore, all the usual suspects. Sure. Bloomberg's telling police to go on strike. We're going to cover all those points. But what does your gut tell you?
Now, we have to admit that maybe this is something that our government is capable of, because this is only 12 people murdered. They were good for 400 in Fast and Furious.
All I know is overall gun crime's going down, so I'm just defending the Second Amendment. But people are pointing this out. I didn't cover it until last week. They had the Lone Star College gang-related shooting where three people were shot, thank God not killed, and CNN kept saying, we're not going to show you live feeds because of what you might see. We're going to show that in a moment. And I was watching the local KHOU and getting to see what people were actually saying. And so that's a big deal in news when they start deciding not to show you helicopter footage because of what you might see.
Another school shooting. These are aerial pictures here in Harris County, Texas, as we have been watching the better part of this last hour. North Harris campus is on lockdown. This is an active situation. We are not showing you live pictures because of what we may possibly see. As a result, we are showing you delayed tape pictures as police, SWAT, FBI. Now,
this is the same CNN that staged Scud attacks that their people were supposedly under with a blue screen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the finale. I saw this footage where Anderson Cooper turns. He's supposedly there at Sandy Hook in front of the memorial, and his whole forehead and nose blurs out. I've been working with blue screen, again, for 17 years. I know what it looks like. It's clearly blue screen. Clear. And I thought, that's got to be somebody's doctored YouTube. There's no way. We went to CNN, found a link where the whole interview had been posted. It's been removed. Oh, by the way, just like some of the earlier clips, like Robbie Parker, have been removed. I forgot that. So I'm thinking, okay, they took it down. Let me go to archive.org, which is, you know, respected group that, you know, puts the archives up. And I found it all unedited right there, exact same footage in high def. And we're going to show you a clip of that right now, full size, and then we'll enhance it and blow it up.
All right, folks. Again, when we see these anomalous clips, we actually do our best to go to the source. And the best we can tell, they did post the entire interview after they did it on CNN.com, but it's been removed. But we went to Internet Archive, highly respected, archive.org. This is not some, quote, conspiracy site. This is archive.org. They've got an unedited entire interview in 10-minute chunks. That's how they do it. So here it is at the very beginning of this chunk where his nose disappears, and we have blue screen here. It's clearly blue screen.
Is there anything else you want to say?
Is there anything else you want to say?
And Anderson Cooper has got some explaining to do, because I know blue screen when I see it. I believe children died at Sandy Hook. And there are a lot of parents going through serious grief, so that can account for some of the strange behavior. Nothing can account for what happens to his nose. And this is CNN, admittedly run by the Pentagon and PSYOPs, Washington Post, WorldNet Daily. This needs to be investigated. They're clearly using this to go after our guns. The government knows overall violent crime's down 49% in the last 20 years. They know more guns means less crime. So they're clearly being opportunistic. That's undoubted. Something, though, is really starting to get suspicious here. I mean, I'm sick of it always being a conspiracy. We know it's a conspiracy that they're putting people on Prozac and stuff that makes them go out and do this. We know that's the real cause of some of these real shootings. It's at the root. But the fact that this whole thing could be staged is just mind-blowing. Tell us what you think. Great job to all the people out there, the crowdsourcing that are researching all these clips. No wonder CNN won't put out a live feed anymore. I mean, they are panicked because they know you're watching and I'm watching. Just like Kurt Haskell, lawyer with his wife, with the underwear bomber a few Christmases ago. He saw the government getting him on the plane. He was the only guy to tell that story for a month and a half. And then on C-SPAN, the Undersecretary of State, Kennedy, admitted that they'd been ordered by an unnamed U.S. agency to help that patsy get on the plane.
There have been numerous cases where our unilateral and uncoordinated revocation of the visa would have disrupted important investigations that were underway by one of our national security partners. They had the individual under investigation, and our revocation action would have disclosed U.S. government's interest in that individual and ended our colleagues' ability, such as the FBI, to pursue the case quietly and to identify terrorist plans and co-conspirators.
The system's scared because they know I'm watching and you're watching. So you can't blame anybody for not believing known certified liars in the government and at CNN. It's that simple. Sorry, we don't trust you anymore. If you told us the sun came up in the morning, people'd go out and check before they believed you. Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com.
Boy, did I almost look stupid.
Charles Jacob, CNN, reporting live from Saudi Arabia.
A great piece by Alex Jones. Now back to other news. In an article posted today on InfoWars.com, the headline reads, House of Rothschild Hoarding Gold in Face of Coming Collapse. The article by Jurianne Mason, if I'm pronouncing that right, says a recent appointment of Rothschild as financial advisor by the board of directors of gold exploration company Spanish Mountain Gold is yet another unmistakable indication that the ancient family is moving the world's gold supply to both emerging markets and central banks worldwide, strengthening the family's monopoly position when the fiat-based house of cards comes crashing down. In the West, later on in the article, it says many economists project that following the crashes of the euro and the dollar, a return to gold-backed currencies would appear as a world trend. This is only natural as the fiat currency concept would have been shown to be the farce that it is. It is entirely possible that all currencies could receive a shakeup and an entire worldwide system of gold-backed currencies may develop. If this were to occur, the countries that held the largest amounts of gold at the time would be out in front economically. Absolutely. So there you go. You've got the Rothschild family is now going to be involved with the company Spanish Mountain Gold. They obviously think that gold is a good investment, but why would they think that? Could they possibly know something that we don't? And in just a moment, we're going to conduct a hard-hitting interview where we're going to talk about this issue with Ted Anderson of Midas Resources. We're also going to talk about how Germany is stockpiling gold as well. And obviously, with the printing of money, you can expect gold to continue to increase in price. Gerald Celente has mentioned that they're actually suppressing the price of gold, because if they didn't suppress the price, people would realize that our paper currency is in trouble. So stay tuned for that hard-hitting interview, but we're now going to go to the Daily Quote, and we're just going to go right to it.
We do not come as aggressors. Our war is not a war of conquest. We are fighting in defense of our homes, our families, and posterity. We have petitioned, and our petitions have been scorned. We have entreated, and our entreaties have been disregarded. We have begged, and they have mocked when our calamity came. We beg no longer. We entreat no more. We petition no more. We defy them.
An amazing quote, and we'll be right back in just one moment with Ted Anderson of Midas Resources. We're going to talk about gold.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Fellow freedom lovers, Alex Jones here with the biggest contest announcement we've ever made. This is so incredibly exciting. We are launching Operation Paul Revere. What did Paul Revere do? He rode through the countryside in New England saying, to arms, the redcoats are coming, wanteth by land, toeth by sea. And all that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. Let me officially announce Operation Paul Revere, a $100,000 cash first place winner to be judged by yours truly, Alex Jones. The film can be 3 minutes. It can be up to 2 hours. It can be fiction, nonfiction, documentary, drama. It's got to promote liberty and freedom and expose tyranny and oppression. And it's not just people in the U.S. that can enter. It's folks worldwide. The rules, the details are at Infowars.com/contest. You have to read the rules and officially sign up for this because it's a $100,000 prize, first place, $10,000 second place, $5,000 third place. But just as I did last year with a reporter contest, we are going to crowdsource from the pool of incredible talent out there and hire several official crews to be directors and writers and camera people in Infowars.com produced major films and documentaries that will be put in movie theaters and on cable. And I've got all the connections to get it done. Together, we're going to really give the New World Order hell. This is extremely exciting. I've made over 20 films. One of them alone has reached more than 40 million people on YouTube and Google Video. The Obama Deception, Endgame, Fall of the Republic, Road to Tyranny. Films are the most effective thing I do, but they're very time consuming. And so I want to turn the power of we the people loose here. And your art, your research, your ideas are unstoppable. We're officially kicking the contest off this Friday. And you've got a little more than 3 months until April 30th. Just a little more than 3 months to produce your documentary or your film and get it out. And it will absolutely reach tens of millions of people. Our normal contest get about 500 entries. That's what $10,000 prize is. This is 10 times that. 100,000 for first place. That's one of the biggest contests out there. In fact, it's the biggest next to Doritos that has $100,000. This is huge, ladies and gentlemen. $115,000 in cash prizes and a shot to have your film produced and financed by Infowars.com. Edit it, upload it to YouTube and one other alternate public video site and send your entry to Paul Revere at Infowars.com. The animating contest of liberty that Thomas Jefferson talked about is happening right now. The modern battlefield is in the mind more than ever. We use truth. The globalists use lies and deception. The corruption and oppression and high-tech police state is in our face. But the controllers are scared. They intended to use the internet to dominate and control humanity and surveil us. But we've turned their system against them. This is a historic crossroads that we have reached. And I ask you to ride in the year 2013, just as one of the founders of this republic did back in 1775. I'm calling you to arms in the info war because the pen and the video camera is mightier than the sword. Let's go in there and rescue humanity and awaken them and set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere. Be part of this contest. You've got 3 months. Put your hat in the ring. Be part of the solution to the corruption and oppression. Be part of the resistance to tyranny. We're looking for the Paul Reveres that will drive a stake through the New World Order's wicked heart. ProPure is introducing Pro-1. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. This is a revolutionary system, and I am so pleased to be able to introduce it to you. This is the Pro-1 by ProPure. You wanted it, you got it. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquamedics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. In the last 20 years, companies have developed technologies that will cut out classical fluoride, sodium fluoride, with a secondary filter. Because sodium fluoride and its derivatives are so incredibly tiny, some of it still gets through, so you've got to add a secondary fluoride filter onto it, which still doesn't cut out some types of fluoride. Ladies and gentlemen, ProPure for 2 years has been quietly developing this with scientists and engineers. It was designed in the U.S. They only have factories that can make this in England. So it's made in England, and this is the only filter that not only cuts out the other bad contaminants and also the fluoride in one step, it cuts out the acid derivative of fluoride. It is the only one that does it. And out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the system you need to add to all of the ProPure systems that you've gotten from InfoWarsStore.com. The new Pro One filter element does it all. Water, fluoride, and other heavy metals. This is two-stage filtration in one filter element. To be clear, Pro One water filters, designed and created by ProPure, are the only gravity-fed filters out there, period, that don't just cut out so-called sodium fluoride, but cut out what is added to most water supply systems, and that is hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is a hopped-up, energized form of fluoride that is literally dozens of times more deadly to your body. That's what's being added to almost every municipal water supply, not just here in the United States, but in Canada, England, the UK in general, and much of Europe. New Pro One filter elements are good for more than 2,400 gallons, blowing away the competition. The ProPure Pro One is a revolution in gravity-fed filters. Take advantage of this today. It's a win-win. Support the InfoWar by purchasing it from InfoWarsStore.com. Support the broadcast and get the lowest price out of the gates anywhere. So no matter where you live in the world, it is time to get the latest development in gravity-fed water filtration, up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. No other filter can cut any of that out. Only ProPure and their new system, Pro One. All available at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. This is a revolution against the tyrants. They love putting the toxic acid base of fluoride into your water. They love the fact that it's an adjuvant supercharging the trace Prozac in the water and the hormones and the other chemicals. They love the fact that it supercharges the GMOs that you're eating. By cutting out fluoride, you cut out the turbocharger in all the poison being artificially introduced into your body. This is what I use. It's a win-win. You get a high-quality product at the lowest price. You support the InfoWar. Get your ProPure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Welcome back. We are now joined by the founder of Midas Resources, Ted Anderson. We're going to talk a little bit about the state of gold and how many countries are stockpiling gold right now. Mr. Anderson, thank you so much for joining us on InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, thanks for having me up again, and you're right about that. I mean, Putin is stockpiling gold. We see it happening in India. It's happening all across the world's, you know, worldwide. Germany, I mean, yeah, definitely that's happening. So,
yeah, tell us a little bit. What's your take on the fact that Germany is transferring a large percentage of its gold back to Germany? It had it distributed in New York City, and now it's going to be transferring, I believe from reports, at least 50% of its gold reserves back to Germany. What's your take on that?
Well, the bottom line is the United States is acting irresponsibly. So is the EU. The reason why they're having a transfer back is not just from the United States, but they want it back from Britain and other places as well. Countries are not trusting other countries. The printing presses are roaring on. The bottom line is when you inflate the value of your currency, cause an inflation, because you're running your printing presses, the value of gold rises in price. When countries are trying to draw their gold back into their own reserves, back into their own country, it's just them saying, hey, we don't trust your dollar no more. We don't trust your pound anymore. We don't like what's going on. You're way too irresponsible with your money. As we drift closer to the kind of crises that Greece created for itself here about 2 years ago, more and more countries are going to be demanding their gold back, and it's going to become a bigger issue.
Now, I've heard a little bit in recent months about Russia stockpiling gold, increasing their gold supply, as well as India. I believe India is even trading with gold. In recent days and recent weeks, what countries have you heard that have also been increasing their supply?
Well, like you said, you've got Putin who's getting into gold. China right now is encouraging their citizens to buy gold, which it used to be illegal to do that over there. India, like you said, certainly throughout the Middle East, you're seeing it in Singapore. The bottom line is, again, these countries are watching what's going on. And it's obvious that when you have things like Obamacare coming, massive deficits, it doesn't seem like the country is willing to do anything other than raise their debt limits like we're doing, printing more money and devaluing currencies. These countries are looking at their own positions and going, hey, we have so many U.S. Treasury notes, bonds, and bills. We're up to our eyeballs in U.S. debt. We need to do something different here, or we're going to have an economic crisis in our own country like the United States is creating for itself. And Europe is in the same position. I mean, when you watch places like France, and you have Greece, Italy, even the United Kingdom. I mean, they're all just sort of falling into the swill. And what they're doing is they're demanding to have their gold back because gold is real money. It has been for 6,000 years. And so, you know, no matter where you turn, you can see that the people that are in the know are demanding gold, and they want to have their reserves, and they want to have it physically in their possession, which is exactly what the people of the United States should be doing as well. Because if you don't have gold in your physical possession, and you have some paper certificate saying that it's stored overseas or off some shore somewhere, there's a good chance that you won't be able to redeem that gold when you need to get it. You know, when a country like Germany is saying, hey, we want our gold here in our nation so we can put our hands on it, they don't trust the fact that the gold that's stored offshore is going to be available for them to get it in the future.
What's your take on the fact that Timothy Geithner recently said, I believe it was an exact quote, we need to raise the U.S. debt limit to infinity? I mean, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
Well, and, you know, when you hear things like that, that's what's motivating these countries to go, okay, we want to get away from paper and get into gold. The reason why Timothy Geithner wants that is because the White House wants to be able to spend without restriction. The United States used to be on a gold standard, then we got away from the gold standard. At least there was a restraint put on the executive branch by the Congress having to raise the debt limit or making it okay to go further into debt. And so they'd have these votes and they keep on lifting it up. It's almost like it has no limit because they continue to raise it anyways, just out of pressure. They don't want to see the government shut down. They don't want to see, bankruptcy and payments not made on U.S. government debt. So they keep raising the debt ceiling so they can borrow even more money to pay back their past due debts. You know, it's like a credit junkie that just can't, they need to have more insulin or they need to have more drugs. The United States is acting irresponsibly. Geithner wants to have unlimited spending capabilities. They don't want to be restricted by the House, is what they're saying.
As a result of all these, initiatives, this behavior, what do you think is, the future of the U.S. economy? I mean, where do you see the U.S. economy headed?
Well, I mean, the economy of the United States is going to have some tough bumps here coming. There's no question about it. I mean, just like anybody that's using credit to survive, you're going to have problems. So that's what we're seeing right here in the United States. I don't think that we're going to escape this one. You do have the credibility, or we have the value of the productivity of the entire United States, but we've tapped it so hard and we pushed it so far that I don't think the United States productivity can come around and offset the interest charges on the debt that we've accumulated. And, so now we're just taking one credit card to pay the next credit card. That's going to cause economic problems in the future. And, if people think that they can, that we're going to have some miraculous recovery, we're going to get back to what we had in the 1980s, I got news for you. The 1980s and the 1990s were financed by foreigners. Foreign nations were buying U.S. treasuries because they found us to be the lender of last resort, the place where you can park money and always be safe. It's not true anymore. The United States is not going to have the foreign funds coming in here. We're spending money still like drunken sailors. We think we can raise the debt ceiling to infinity. That's going to cause economic problems, and we're going to have it right here at home, and people ought to take heed. When you see people like Putin and Germany and all these other countries accumulating gold physically and they want it in their possession, you better start doing the same for your own wealth.
Now, recently we had a guest called Gerald Celente on our show, and Gerald Celente, I don't know how much gold is going now per ounce. I think it's about $1,600 per ounce or something. But Gerald Celente is actually saying that the price of gold is really higher than that. They're just kind of suppressing the price of gold, because if people see the price of gold skyrocketing, that's going to really create a turbulent environment for the international markets. How is gold doing right now? And have you heard about that theory that, they're trying to suppress the price?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you can see a lot of that going on. If you go to gata.org, GATA, you can see a lot of information on how the central banks have tried to suppress the price of gold. Currently, right now, we have gold going for $1,656.80. And definitely, the Federal Reserve System, the Bank of England, the Bundesbank in Germany, all these central banks are trying to keep the price of gold down because their game is to print money and have us use it as currency. Therefore, they can collect interest on that debt when they lend it to us, and we pay that interest. If that house of cards falls apart for them, gold rising in price would be the indication of that. So what they do is they try to keep the gold prices low to make their currencies look stronger. And there is manipulation that goes on. The central banks are the largest holders of gold in the marketplace. They have the ability to raise and lower the lease rates for gold in the futures market. And yes, indeed, they're playing games. So the price of $1,656.80 is reflecting that downward pressure that they're putting onto the market. However, it always rears its ugly head. And right now we're in one of those times where gold and silver has come down from about $1,900 an ounce to $1,656. You kind of get this feeling of, oh, everything's okay now, and you just wait. It's going to come like a boomerang. And just because they're not solving the problems. If we had rising interest rates, if we had a recession going on, large unemployment, so on and so forth, the things that sort of pull the economy back together again, I would say, yeah, we'll probably pull out of this thing, kind of like we had Paul Volcker coming out of the Jimmy Carter era, going into the Reagan era back in 1980. But we don't have that now. They're trying to keep the interest rates low artificially, and they're also trying to suppress the prices in gold to reflect the fact that there's strength in the currencies, but it's all a house of cards. It's all smoke and mirrors. And When this all blows up, forget it. I mean, we're going to have that $2,000 gold, $2,500 gold, that Gerald Celente's been talking about. He can see it. The handwriting's on the wall. When you have Rockefellers and Rothschilds and central banks across the world accumulating gold, getting larger positions, countries doing the same. I mean, the people would be foolish to think that they can trust their money in the currency and the currency markets.
Now, speaking of smoke and mirrors, do you know, I mean, how much gold does the U.S. have? I recently saw a show, a TV show that said, you know, I mean, nobody really knows except the elite, that in Fort Knox, our country really doesn't have nearly as much gold as we say they do. Speaking of smoke and mirrors, and the reason why they don't want people to know about that was because if people knew that the U.S. had so little gold, it would create turbulence in international markets. I mean, do you know about how much gold the U.S. is investing in right now?
Well, just the very statement that you said, we can't tell you how much gold we have because it could create turbulence in the marketplace. What are they afraid of? Why are they afraid to disclose how much gold is sitting in Fort Knox? The bottom line is that there's probably a lot less than what people believe, and if they could do a full audit on the Fort Knox and even the Fed, and we could know how much money is in the system and how much gold is in the system, the market would level off and would figure out where we are. But because of the fact that they're hiding it, that should be enough to tell you that there's shenanigans, and that's the problem that we're running into. I don't know how much gold there is in Fort Knox. They won't tell us. We should demand an audit on how much gold is in Fort Knox and actually have them drill the bars and make sure they're not tungsten bars and they're making up, you know. The whole thing just, when you put it all together, you just know that the wool is being pulled over the eyes of the American people. Not only just the American people, but we're trying to hold on to this world, this world economic power, if you will, that the United States has been able to enjoy throughout, since the 1950s going through about the 1980s. And we just don't have it anymore. And so what are we going to do? The value of the dollar is going to be dropping and, you know, less foreigners are going to want to buy our bonds. We're going to have to finance more of our treasury sales through the Federal Reserve System. More money is going to be printed. Our credibility is going away. Our production in the nation can't support the amount of debt that we have. It's a economic crisis in the making, and that's what we have going on.
Yeah, it's a complete house of cards. Why should somebody invest in gold? I know that there's a prominent financial advisor out there by the name of Dave Ramsey. He seems, you know, pretty reasonable guy, like a nice person, pretty reasonable. But he says, you know, gold is not a good investment. It costs too much. The return on investment is not really good. Yeah, there are spikes. But, you know, when it's all said and done, gold is not really a good investment. Why should someone invest in gold?
Well, one of the things you got to remember that Dave Ramsey gets a fee for managing accounts. It's not a commission based now. They want to have your money held in street name at their firm, and then they can charge you a percent of what the entire value is every year. You know, usually it's 0.5% to 1.5%. They charge these fees. Once somebody moves into gold, that money moves out of those accounts and goes into gold. They don't get their fees anymore. One of the reasons why you want to own gold is because of the fact that the paper currency and the paper markets are all dependent upon this system holding together and working. When we have inflation, when we have the kind of economic crises that we're talking about, that system doesn't work anymore. So that's why you need to have gold. Anybody would be foolish to think that they can put all their money into the marketplace and not have gold. You should have physical possession of gold. Dave Ramsey is a fool for not telling his people that they should at least have 20 to 25% of their portfolio into physical gold that they hold.
What about those that say, but the return on investment isn't that good in gold? With gold, what do you have to say about that?
Oh, that's the whole point. If you're sitting on paper currency, you need to have a big return on investment because inflation is eating you alive. The return on investment in gold has been, if you want to look at the spot price of gold, you know, 10 years ago, you would have bought spot gold at about $400 and now it's $1,600. That's a good return on investment. You can go back 30 years and it's still holding value. You can go back 6,000 years and it's still holding value. Certainly the lifetime of anybody that lived here in this nation, had they put their money in gold, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, they would have something that would not only buy what it can today, but it would probably buy even more just due to the fact that we have a crumbling economic system. And so, mm-hmm. Do you need to have an interest return on it? No, you don't. You just need to have it hold its value. It still needs to be able to buy the things that it can now, as it will 10 years from now, and 10 years from that, 20, 30, 40, and so on and so forth. The pharaohs, when they opened up their tombs, they didn't find paper currency. They found gold. Gold has been money. It'll be money in the future. It owes nobody anything. It's not attached to any financial system. It has value that will maintain. Don't matter if the United States is out of existence and the United States dollar is gone. Gold will hold its value. It's just, that's the way gold is. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's the best investment hedge that you could have. It's the best financial insurance policy you could ever think of. There just isn't anything better out there in the marketplace. And to speculate in the market to try to get return, do that with the other 75% of your portfolio. Make sure you keep 25% of your portfolio in gold.
Yeah, there's never been a gold crash, at least not that I know of. But as we wind down here, we only have a couple minutes left. You know, for the newbie investor, for somebody who wants to invest in gold, and by the way, do you guys do silver as well?
Yeah, of course. Okay. We have silver and gold, and silver is poor man's gold, and it's been money just as long. People have been using it, yeah.
Right. For the person who wants to jump into, you know, having precious metals, but they see the price of gold, $1,600, $1,700 per ounce, they say that's too much. I mean, what should the new investor invest in your opinion?
Well, in reality, I mean, silver makes a lot of sense, and it's a great thing for somebody that has just a few dollars to invest. As a matter of fact, we have Dishonest Money book, which explains the monetary system very well, written by Joe Plummer. We have the American Dream video, which goes into banking, gives you a great idea what's going on there. Alex's video, the Obama deception, we packaged it together, a package of three, and we added two silver dollars that were used, that were printed at the beginning of the 1900s. And so you can see what real money was before 1971 when we got away from gold and silver. So that package is $72 delivered. And you can even use a credit card by just going to Infowars.com, click on the Midas Resources banner, and you'll see the offer right there for $72. Or you can call Midas directly at 800-686-2237. The silver is a good idea if you have a little bit of money. If you even for somebody that has a fairly substantial amount of money, it's okay. The problem is, you know, $600,000 worth of silver is going to weigh a lot. $100,000 worth of silver is still a very heavy package to tote around. Whereas gold can fit into a shoebox easily. You can put it into a purse. You can carry it with you. Have that kind of money on you, and it's really not that difficult to hold on to. I think both gold and silver is, either one of those products, either one of those metals are a good alternative to paper currency. That's for sure.
Well, Mr. Anderson, in the 30 seconds that we have left, is there any last thing you'd like to tell the public?
Well, I just think that people need to educate themselves. Probably that Dishonest Money and the American Dream video and the Obama deception. Take time to watch the two videos and read the book. The book is small. It really does go into the way that money is manufactured, how it comes into existence, why central banks are tied to our politicians and what they try to do to manipulate the marketplace. It's really important that you know that. Once you understand how that process works, you're not going to be asking me why I need to own gold and silver. And then to get the two silver dollars, you know, if the economy falls apart, you're going to have something that is truly valuable, and it's $72 delivered. You just can't beat it.
Okay, Mr. Anderson, thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me up.
Thank you. And again, that one book and two DVD package, that obviously supports our operation. It is a great deal. And if you also want to support our operation, one way you can do that is by becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. For less than $6 a month, you'll get access to a lot of content. You'll be able to see Alex's radio show live. You'll also be able to see the nightly news as well. And for less than $6 a month, you can get that, and you can share your subscription with upwards of 10 people. So that's, again, a great way to support our operation. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We'll see you tomorrow evening.